Today's daf is Yuma Daf Memtes, and we are 12 lines from the top of Daf Memtes Omer Aleph Boi Rav Papa. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avadi ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmuel ben Tehila, Mordechai Tzvi ben Fradel, Rafal Yaakov ben Rachel Chava, David ben Shoshana, Rafal Yitzchak, Isaac ben Rechama, Miriam Basara Dina, Menachem Mendel ben Yehudas Chaya, Avram Menachem ben Leia Edel, Yaakov ben Gittel, and Aryeh Eliezer ben Malka. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Yecheskel Shraga ben Miril, and today's daf is being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Avram ben Yebadel Chayim Toivim, Reb Moshe Chayim. So we're continuing to discuss the special ketores that the Kohen Gadol brought on Yom Kippur. So every single day in the Beis HaMikdash, one of the critical avodas was the ketores. It was brought twice, pras b'shachris u'pras bein arbayim. On Yom Kippur, there was an additional ketores that was brought, a third ketores, that was brought not on the Mizbeach, which is where the Ketores was ordinarily brought, but rather it was brought in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Pasuk, when it describes the Ketores, says, V'lokach m'loy ha-machto gach le'esh me'ala Mizbeach, the Kohen Gadol should take a shovel that's going to have coals in it, u'meloy chafnov Ketores ha-mem dako. Additionally, he should take a meloy chafnov, which we saw means he takes both his hands filled with Ketores, v'hevi mi beis la-paroiches, and he should bring it with him into the paroiches. The Gemara said, this is Torah Shabbat Peh, it's not mefurish in the Pasuk, that after the Kohen Gadol would take the meloy chafnov of Ketores, he would pour it into a kaf, and the way he would bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim was by holding a kaf. In other words, he was holding a machan, a machto that had gachle ish me'ala mizbeach, and he was holding a kaf that had ketores samim daka, which Chazal say was really daka min hadaka. He held the machto in his right hand, he held the kaf in his left hand. That's the way he entered lefnai v'lefnim. That's the way he entered the kodesh hakadoshim. The pasuk says that when he entered the kodesh hakadoshim, v'nosan asak ketores al ha'ish lefnei Hashem, he had to take the ketores that was in the kaf, pour it onto the machta that had the coals on it, asher edos v'lo yomos. And the idea was for the smoke to rise from the ketores, it would cover the aroin, meaning it would cover the kapores that was on top of the aroin. If he did that, v'lo yomos, michla lav atoshemeyahen. So the topic of Daf Mem Ches, and really Daf Mem Zayin, was this special ketores. And the Gemara had a whole bunch of different questions that the Amora Rav Papa posed as it relates to understanding on a more detailed, a more nuanced level, the avoda of the ketores. Some of them were more technical, others were a little bit more lumdish. If he had a machsheves pigel while he did the act of chafina, it is a machsheva that can disqualify the ketores. It can't. One of the themes of Rav Papa Zibayas were that he seemed to be equating on some level the avoda of chafina that the Kohen Gadol did one time a year with the special ketores that he brought in Yom Kippur with the avoda of kemitza that a Kohen did every single time that a karban mincha was brought. Regardless, the Gemara is going to continue on that note. More shailos related to the ketores on Yom Kippur and even some more similarities between the ketores on Yom Kippur and the karban mincha. By Rav Papa, Rav Papa had a shailo chafan chave. What would be if a Kohen did the chafina v'nasan l'toy chafnav and then he put the ketores that he did the chafina with into the hands of the Kohen Gadol? So the Kohen Gadol has the meloy chafnav ketores now inside his hands. However, he didn't do the actual chafina. Someone else did the chafina and he poured it into his hand. So what's the shailam? Meloy chafnav b'inav ha'yeko. Do you say the Kohen Gadol has meloy chafnav of ketores so he can do the avoda that way? Oiduma v'lokach the heavy be'inon v'holecha. The pasuk says the lokach melay hamachto gach leish me'al hamizbeach melifnei Hashem, and then it says umeloy chafnav ketores samim daka v'hevi mibeis laparoiches. And pasuk grammatically, the way you would read the pasuk is the word v'lokach is referring to two things that the pasuk is talking about. It's referring to the machna that had the coals in it, and it's referring to the meloy chafnav ketores. In other words, the way you read it is v'lokach meloy hamachto gach leish me'al hamizbeach melifnei Hashem, and v'lokach meloy chafnav ketores samim daka v'hevi mibeis laparoiches. The point is, if v'lokach is in fact referring to meloy chafnav ketores samim, that would suggest that maybe it's not enough that the Kohen Gadol has the meloy chafnav inside his hands, but he has to be v'lokach he would actually have had to have taken it. If that's the case, then if another Kohen would take Maloi Chafnav, put it into the hands of the Kohen Gadol, it wouldn't be okay, says the Gemara. So what's the bottom line? Take Ubay Rabbi Shua ben Levi, another Shaila, Chafan Umes. What would be if the Kohen Gadol did the Chafina? And then he died. Mahu sheyikonis acher bechafinase. So, in the Beis HaMikdash, they were prepared for this very unfortunate situation. There was a skan kohen gadol who was groomed. The first Mishnah in the Masechta talks about it. So, what happens if that in fact took place? So, the kohen gadol died before he entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, simply after he did the chafina. So, right now we have his maloi chafnav of keteris. So, do we say that let the other kohen gadol just take his keteris, put it into his own hand, and that's going to be okay or not? This was Rabbi Shua ben Levi Shaila. The Gemara says, "I'm Reb Chanina heard this question." And he said, "Boy, Urei Shelas Arishayim." He says, "Take a look. We had the same Shaila, and now I was just made aware that this was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Shaila, as if to say we were mechaven to the Rishayim." Rabbi Chanina had once cleared the Shaila together with the Talmidim. When he heard Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the same Shaila, he was very excited. He said, wow, we were mechavin to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So the Gemara is going to digress now for several lines on a very, very agav point. And that is, from Rabbi Chanina's comment, it would seem that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was older than Rabbi Chanina. Meaning, Rabbi Chanina hears Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Shaila, and he says, Baruch Shekivanti. Wow, we were mechavim to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Shaila. As if to say, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, a dar freer, or maybe more, had posed this question, and Rabbi Chanina was very excited that he had this Shaila. So the Gemara says, maybe Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Kashish. Is that true? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was older than Rabbi Chanina. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi once said, Li hit the Rabbi Chanina, Lishtei Shachlayim b'Shabbos. I once asked Rabbi Chanina a question, could a chayla drink Shachlayim on Shabbos? And Rabbi Chanina was matter to me. So the Gemara is going to digress for a second. First of all, what was this Shaila? Then we'll figure out what the Raya is from this Shaila that Rabbi Chanina was actually older than Rabbi Shua ben Levi. But first, what's the Shaila? Why shouldn't you be able to drink it? Meaning, Pashit, the Shaila was, Rabbi Shua ben Levi wanted to know if a Chayla can benefit from drinking Shachlayim on Shabbos, could he drink it or not? But it's not really a Shaila, because even though Refuah B'Shabbos, Simen Shin Chavches, Sugis and Masechta Shabbos, Raid Bites, it's a very big deal. But at the same time, the Tanan, it's Pashat, it's okay, because it's a Mishnah. A person's allowed to eat any food for Refuah, a person's allowed to drink any food. Meaning, if someone's not feeling well, it's Friday night, doesn't have to ask a Rav, could he eat chicken soup? What do you mean? It's a Refuah, it's going to make him feel better. Being that it's an oichel, it's pashut, you're allowed to do it. You want to take an Advil, you're taking medication, so that's already ton shelas rat. But in terms of oichel and a mashkin, it's pashut. So what was the question? Rabbi Shulman Levi asked Rabbi Chanina, could I drink shachlayim? It's a mashka. So of course, nalach is it would be okay. So the Gemara says, no, you have to say the question was something else. He wanted to know, lishchayk v'lishtay shachlayim, Mashabbos. Can you grind the shachlayim? Shachlayim is an herb. So can you grind the herb and then drink it? But the Gemara says, grind the herb for a chayla? One second. Hey, chidam, idik it's zakanta. If this is a question of zakonas nefashas, mishvashari, then you don't have to ask a question. The idolek zakanta, and if there's no zakona, meisaros, it's an isaday raisa. What's the habim need to be able to do it? So the Gemara says, leilam dik it's zakanta. No, really, the question Rabbi Shulman Levi asked Rabbi Chanina was, there was a chayla sheyesh by zakon. Where the halach is, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, even chil Shabbos day raisa. So what was the question that he asked Rabbi Chanina? It wasn't a halachic question that Rabbi Shua ben Levi was asking Rabbi Chanina, but rather he was asking him a medical question. He seeked medical advice so that he can know whether this is a davar shel refuah. I mean, Rabbi Shua ben Levi knew the halacha, that if the shachlayim is going to help this patient, of course, the halacha is you grind the shachlayim, and there's no question to ask. The reason that he asked the shaila was because he wasn't sure whether medically shachlayim is going to work. Meaning, is this something worthy of chil Shabbos, or is it not? So the Gemara says, "Am I asking Rabbi Chanina?" So why do you ask Rabbi Chanina? It sounds like a question you would ask a doctor. So the Gemara says, "It's because Rabbi Chanina was a doctor." Mishum debaki berefuah. So the Rabbi Chanina once said, "Ma'olam leishalani adam alakis pirdo levana v'chay." No one ever asked me a question. Meaning, no one ever came to me and showed me a wound that he had because he was bit by a pirda levana, by a white mule, and he lived to tell the story. Meaning, if someone gets bitten by a white mule, it's not good. Faith the Gemara is that true for Chazid and the Chayit. That's the Matthias is not that way. So the Gemara says, Eim v'chayit. It's not where B'chanina meant was, he never saw the wound heal. Meaning, a person can live. V'chaya, yeah, but v'chayas, for the wound to heal, that not. V'chayit and the Matthias, the Gemara says, it's also not true. So the Gemara says, B'sumkin inu v'chivron resh kara. He was talking about a red mule that has white on it. The point is, he was talking about a very specific mule. But what we see from there is that Reb Chanina was a doctor. Okay, incidentally, we talk a lot about another Amora in Shas that was a doctor, and that's the Amora Shmuel. Shmuel was also a doctor. That's why you find a lot of Gemaras that are medically oriented that are associated with Shmuel. There's a Yerushalmi in the 14th parak of Masechta Shabbos. This Yerushalmi has a parallel in Bavli, where Rav and Shmuel argued as to why most people die. Rav said 99 out of 100 people die because of Ayin Hara. Shmuel said 99 out of 100 people die because of some sort of medical condition. The truth is, Rav and Shmuel were Lishita Sayu. Rav throughout Shas was worried about Ayin Hara. There's many Gemaras. And Shmuel was a doctor. So Rav attributed it to Ayin Hara. And Shmuel attributed it to the fact that people get sick. So in Yerushalmi, that machloikis is presented a drop differently. The Gemara says, Rav, Rabchia, Rabbo, Travayu, and Amin, Rav and Rabchia both said, Tishan, Vetishan, Mesa, Ba'ayin, Ve'echa, Vide Shemayim. Out of 100 people, 99 of them died because of Ayin Har. What is Vide Shemayim? Rabchanino, Vishmuel, Travayu, Amrin, Tzadik, Tem, Mesa, Betzino, Ve'echa, Vide Shemayim. It was Rabchanino and Shmuel. It's not a coincidence, because Rabchanino and Shmuel are the two doctors in Shas. But the bottom line is, that's the rest of the story. So what do you see from here? Rabchanino was a doctor, Beseda, very nice. But that's not what we want. What we want is that Rabbi Shmuel and Levi asked Rabbi Chanina a question. Okay, and Rashi says, here's the punchline. He said, Li hitir Rabbi Chanina, Lishtei Shachlayim. Rashi says, once upon a time, things were very stiff in terms of the way younger people spoke to older people and older people spoke to younger people. It was very bureaucratic. A Rishon would never speak to somebody younger and refer to him as Rabbi. Just not the way it was. So if Rabbi Shmuel and Levi referred to Rabbi Chanina as Li hit the Rebbe Chanina, Feistoy says the Gemara, Shma minot Rebbe Chanina Koshesh. It must be that Rebbe Chanina was older. So again, what's the question? Rebbe Shmuel Belevi asked the Kasha. He said, what would be if the Kohen Gadol did Chafina? And then he died. Could the next Kohen Gadol, the person that's going to slip into his shoes right now, can he use his predecessors, Moloi Chafnav, or can he not use that? Rebbe Chanina heard the question, and before he even spoke about the lumbus of it, he got very excited. He said, oh wow, we were Mechavim, Baruch Shekivanti. I had the same shayla. As if to say, Rebbe Shmuel ben Levi was older. Rebbe Chanina, the younger, was very excited that he was Mechavim. Says the Gemara, you see from the fact that Rebbe Shmuel ben Levi referred to Rebbe Chanina as Rebbe, Li hit the Rebbe Chanina. So you see, Rebbe Chanina was older, so who was older? Was Rebbe Shmuel ben Levi older or was Rebbe Chanina older? So the Gemara says, you're right. You have to say Rebbe Chanina was older. Checkmate. Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi would have never referred to a younger Rabbi Chanina as Rabbi Chanina. Okay, says the Gemara. So what did Rabbi Chanina mean when he got so excited that he heard Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi ask this question? Partially he was excited because he was Mechavet Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi. The Gemara says just the opposite. Hachikama, what he meant to say was, Sheila son, oh, I see the young Gadar is doing gangs fine, that Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi was Mechavet to us. Not he was excited because he was mechavin to the free of the Gedar, but rather he was commenting. Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi asked the Shaila, oh, Baruch Hashem, Layal Min Yisrael, you see the next generation, they're being mechavin to things that we were mechavin to. But the Gemara says, it comes out then, that not only Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi posed this question, what happens if the Kohen Gadol did chafin and then he died, but Rabbi Chanina posed the same exact question. Meaning Rabbi Chanina sat with the Talmidim and he wanted to know this halacha. If the Kohen Gadol did chafin and then he died, so what's the halacha? Faith the Gemara, me, Rabbi Chanina, could Rabbi Chanina have posed this question? Says Gemara, no. You know why? Because there's two other Rabbi Chaninas that are very pertinent to this Shaila. And if you know those two Rabbi Chaninas, you know this Shaila is dead on arrival. It is not something that you could even ask. Number one. From Rabbi Chanina said, Bipar, v'loy bedame shopar. So this is going to be the topic of Amud Beis. We'll go into it in more depth then. But for now, the Pasuk says, Bezois yove Aharon el ha-Kodesh, Bipar ben boker l'chatas v'ayol oil. In order for Aharon to enter the Kodesh, this is a Pasuk in the beginning of Parashas Achrimos, Perek Tezayin, that's where the Avodah of Yom Kippur is mentioned. Pasuk Gimel, that's obviously right at the beginning of the Perek. And it says, in order for Aharon HaKohen, in order for the Kohen Gadol to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he had to bring a par. Now this par was the par. That's the par that the Kohen Gadol said Vidoyan once, and then he said Vidoyan again, that we're just starting to learn a little bit about. But that was the par that we're referring to. Now, there's a machlekes on Amud Beis that we're going to see. What does it mean that the Kohen Gadol had to bring the par? Does it mean he had to shech the par? Or, as long as he has the dam of the par, that's enough of a license for him to be able to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Again, bezois yovei Aharon el HaKodesh bepar. What does bepar mean? He shechted the par before he enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or he's walking in with the par, meaning because he has the dam of the par. So Reb Chanina said very clearly, bepar v'loy bedamei shel par. No, he would have had to have shechted the par. So Reb Chanina Shita says, you can't walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to bring the Torah to do anything, unless you first shechted the par. Number one. There's another Reb Chanina. Reb Chanina, K'tayr Shechavtan, K'tayr Meshchit, Tzapar, Liyasaf, Lay Klon. Reb Chanina also said that there's a seder of how the Avodah had happened on Yom Kippur, Chukah, which means it's Ma'akiv. And one of the things Reb Chanina said was that if the Chafin of the K'tayr was done before the Shechit of the par, Loy Asav, Loy Klon. The Chafina had to happen after the Shechit. So says the Gemara, Kohen Reb Chanina is not a Shaila. Because what's the shot? Kohen Gadol did Chafina, then he died. Could the next Kohen Gadol walk in with his Mloy Chafton? This next Kohen Gadol is going to have to shecht the par all over again, even though it happened. But he's going to have to shecht it again. The reason he's going to have to shecht it again is because Rabbi Chanina Shittas Bezois Yovei Aharon HaKodesh Bepar V'loy B'damei Shel Par, with the Shechit of the par. He actually has to shecht the par. If he's going to have to shecht the par, he's going to have to do Chafina anyways. Because the halach is, if you did the Chafina, Kohen Shechitas HaPar, Loy Asav, Loy Klum. So this whole shot doesn't make any sense. Afraid to Gemara, Rabbi Chanina, whether he was mechavet Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi earlier or Rabbi Shmuel Levi was mechavet him, there's no way Rabbi Chanina could have asked this question, because it's pashut the halach is that he would have to do another chafina, because he has to do another shechita sapar, and once he has to do another shechita sapar, he has to do another chafina, because the chafina has to happen after the shechita. So the Gemara says hachi kamar, you have to say that what he meant to say was as follows. This was Rabbi Chanina's remark when he heard Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi ask this question. He said, obviously Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi doesn't hold like me. He obviously doesn't hold that you have to shech the par again. He must hold that par means afilu b'damei shel par. You could walk in simply with the dam of the par. And so you said, "Ulamai the sfira lei." So based on that opinion that he has, he cleared a shayla. That shayla sheilasa is kisheilasa rishonim, is like the shayla of rishonim, my contemporaries who also held that way. They also asked that question. In other words, Reb Shmuel ben Levi wasn't mechavet Reb Chanina, because it's true, Reb Chanina asked this question. He couldn't have asked this question. What Reb Chanina meant to say was, is that Reb Shmuel ben Levi was mechavet to my bali plukta. My bali plukta who hold bepar v'afilu b'dami shopar. They, I know, cleared this shayla. Because in them it is a shayla. Theoretically, it could be a going to be, can't be a shayla, because you have to shech the par. Once you have to shech the par, you have to do another chafina. Because if you don't do another chafina, the chafina will have been before the shechita, and that's a problem. But I know my predecessors, meaning my contemporaries, they didn't zich with me on that point. They cleared the shayla, and that's where Shmuel ben Levi was mechavin to. So in other words, Shmuel ben Levi asked the question. The question, which we didn't even get to yet, meaning we haven't even discussed the toichen of the question. We're just trying to figure out who was mechavin to who. But Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi had a question. What would be if the Kohen Gadol did Chafina? And after he did the Chafina, he died. Could the other Kohen Gadol take his Mloy Chafna, assuming it works, and walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Or does he have to do his own Chafina? And Rabbi Chanina heard that. He said, wow, somebody was mechavin to someone. Okay, who? So first, the Gemara said Rabbi Chanina was mechavin to Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi. Then the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Chanina was older than Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi. He meant to say Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi was mechavin to Rabbi Chanina. But really, after further review, the third attempt, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi was mechavin to Rabbi Chanina's contemporaries. Meaning, Rabbi Chanina's bali plukta in the sugya of bepar v'loy b'damei shel par, bepar v'afilu b'damei shel par. But the bottom line is, we have a nice question, regardless of who posed it and who was mechavin to. So my havi Allah, what's the bottom line? I'm Rav Papa. It's Rav Papa who's clearly the Mara de Shmaitza in these sugyas. So Rav Papa said, this is the halacha. He said, if when you do chafina, you don't just do chafina once, but you have to do chafina a second time. So if you're going to do a second chafina, then it's okay for the Kohen Gadol to take this Moy Chafa. Don't make kind of chafina, because he's going to do a second chafina anyways. He ain't chayfe v'chayze v'chayfe, but if you're not going to do another chafina, that's the only tzad that I can hear. Meaning, I think it's totally in whether chayfe v'chayze v'chayfe, or ain't chayze v'chayze v'chayfe. So what's the shiloh of chayfe v'chayze v'chayfe? So that's also something that we're going to see a little bit about on Amid Beis. There is Amanda Amar, and that is in fact going to be the Maskana Sagamara, so that's the way it is, that the Kohen Gadol didn't just do Chafina once. Kohen Gadol did Chafina a second time. Meaning, the Kohen Gadol did the original Chafina from the Machta that they were Hoitziu Loi right at the beginning of our parak that had Ketoris in it. It came from Beis Aftinas. He took a Maloi Chafna. He poured it into the Kaf. Then he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he did a chafina again. And the Gemara is going to explain how he did it. That's the Avodah Kasha Shabbat Mikdash. The second time was much harder than the first time. But he did a second chafina. So Rav Papa said, I think this Shaila should really be Talian. Was there one chafina or were there two chafinas? If there was one chafina, the only one was that original one. So if this Kohen Gadol never did the chafina, he's missing the Avodah's chafina. So I would think it should be a problem. If the chafina was done a second time, however, so what's the problem? He didn't do the chafina, he'll do it the second time. So being that he's going to do it the second time, that's going to be okay. Now Tosfos asks right away, wait, I don't understand. If there were two chafinas, it sounds like you had to do it a second time. So if you had to do it a second time, then Mamarav Shach, so he's missing one of the two chafinas. So Tosfos struggles with this. Ayin Tosfos, the last Tosfos on the Yom. But either way, that's what Rav Papa said. So if chayfin v'chayze v'chayfin, then it's pashut, it should be okay. But if not, that's where I hear a shayla. Amalei Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, the Rav Papa, Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, who's Rav Papa's Baal Plukta throughout Jazz. You expected Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua to appear somewhere in these sugyas, because he's Rav Papa's primary Baal Plukta. Abaya a lot. And Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, so he told him, Adarabba, I see it just the opposite. If you have to do a second chafina, then it shouldn't be okay. Because it's not going to be the same Maloi Chafna. Meaning, if you have to do a chafina twice, it sounds like you have to establish the Maloi Chafna twice. It's going to be two different Maloi Chafnas. Because it's two different Koyhanin, Gedoylin. The size of their hands are going to be different, inevitably. Rashi says, no two people have the exact size. And as a result, memela, you can end up not having a Maloi Chafna. But if you don't have to do a Maloi Chafna again, then I can hear it. At the end of the day, this Kohen Gadol is walking in with the Maloi Chafna of the original Kohen Gadol. So memela, I can hear that it works. The bottom line is, and they had two ways of looking at it. Rav Papa one way, Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua another way. Going to Rav Papa, if it's Chayfin v'chayze v'chayfin, it's for sure not a problem. The question would be, if you're not going to be chayfin v'chayze v'chayfin, Rav Huna Breid Yeshua saw just the opposite. He said, if chayfin v'chayze v'chayfin, for sure it is a problem, because the two Maloi Chafnas are not going to be the same share. Because the first was the Kohen Gadol. It's going to be the same amount of Ketoris, but it's not going to be a Maloi Chafna of the second time. It's going to be too much or it's going to be too little. So it's not going to end up adding up. The Shnayla would only be if in chayfin v'chayze v'chayfin. So again, so we're pretty much back to square one. So says the Gemara, the Ibai Elohu. So what's this whole Shnayla even? Meaning, before we wrap up this sugya, what's the shayla of chayfin v'chayze v'chayfin, or ein chayfin v'chayze v'chayfin? So the Gemara says, zok the Gemara, the Ibarlu, chayfin v'chayze v'chayfin, I lie, touch my kachay se midasa. So the Gemara is going to repeat word for word what it said on Daf Mem Zayin. The Gemara says, maybe we have a raya to this shayla, whether they were chayfin v'chayze v'chayfin or not from the Lashon HaMishnah. The Mishnah right in the beginning of the parak said, hoitziu lo yasakafes amachta, Chafam loy chafnov, v'nosan lotei chakat. Agadol lefi gadloy, v'akotan lefi kotnoy, v'kach hoysa midasa. And those three words are very mysterious. V'kach hoysa midasa. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, maybe that's what it means. G'shem she midasa mibachot, kach midasa bibifim. V'kach hoysa midasa, that there were two loy chafnovs, and the second one was identical to the first one, but the Gemara says, loy, that's not what it means. I mean, that those words is not a raya that there was a second chafino. Maybe what the Mishnah means is that if you want to not take a Maloi Chafnov, but measure the Maloi Chafnov of the Kohen Gadol and use some sort of keli, some implement, to get that, but without doing the actual chafina, maybe that's what the Mishnah is saying. But kach ha'isa midasa, as long as you get the shear, it's fine. You don't actually need the chafina. Inamish le'yachsa b'le'ich le'yoyse. Or maybe it means it has to be an exact shear. Bottom line is, that's the question of chayfin v'chayza v'chayfin. But again, returning to our original shayla, zok the Gemara, toshma, kitzad hu'oyse. So again, discussing the shayla of chayfin v'chayza v'chayfin. So the Gemara says, I'll bring you a raya from here, a braisa. So the braisa describes the second chafina, which is going to be checkmate, a raya, that Chayfen v'chayza v'chayfen. If you have a braisa of Ketzad Huwaisa, how he did the second chafina, obviously the second chafina happened. So the braisa over here describes some practical, logistical avoida, which a little hard to understand, but oiches es ha-bazach b'rosh e'etzba'i. So the Kohen Gadol would hold the bazach, that's the kaf, that's where the Keteris is right now. He would hold it with the tips of his fingers. V'yeshan r'beshinov, some say he would hold it with his teeth. Umayla b'godloi achem agas l'bein atzila yadav. So the picture that I saw that describes this is, basically, he's holding it with the tips of his hands. Let's just pick that example. He has the palm of his hands, obviously, next to the tips of his hands. And he uses his thumbs to get the k'tiris to come out of the bazach. Like this, it's going to end up landing in his hands. So he's going to end up with a malay chafna. So he uses gudla, he's using his thumbs to push out the k'tiris from the bazach. Achim agas abein atzila yadam, until he has it in his hands. V'chayzer machzir l'tay chafna. And then somehow he ends up being in the position of malay chafna. V'tzayvra, once he has it, he would gather it. K'dei she yashna shoyolov. So v'tzayvra, the way the Rishayim explained it means, is that he would pour it onto the coals very, very slowly. The idea was, like the Gemara says, k'dei she yehei ashna shoyolov. So the smoke would rise, but slowly. We didn't want it to be too much smoke. It may be dangerous for the Kohen Gadol to be there. So Yeshan and some say Mefaz, just the opposite. He would pour it on, Kadesh Ashnam and Maharis Lava, because we wanted it to happen really quickly. But the zoo, this second chafino, can you avoid the kosher Sheva Mikdash? This was the avoid the kosher. That's the Gemara zoo, even so. This was the avoid the kosher Mikdash. For Ika Malika, Ika Kmitza, we know Malika Kmitza in different places are also described as avoid the kosher Sheva Mikdash. El Zuhi avoid the kosher, may avoid those kosher Sheva Mikdash. This is one of the avoid the kosher Sheva Mikdash. But the bottom line is, what do you see from here? Shma mina, choyfein, v'choyzer, v'choyfein, shma mina. You see clearly that you're choyfein, v'choyzer, v'choyfein. So just two things. Number one, you see from here that throughout Shas, what would avoid this kasha sheb mikdash? Malika, kemitza, and the chafina. And really, the chafina that we've learned about up until this point didn't sound so complicated. Like, why is that so hard? Even kemitza, which is a little intricate, but the avoda kasha of kmitza was when you had the minchas machvas, the minchas marcheshes, where you actually had to use your thumb and your pinky to break through something that was solid and level it to the point where it's going to be mamish perfect. So that was the avoda kasha of Sheva Mikdash. What's so hard about chafina? The truth is the first chafina wasn't so hard. It was the second chafina that was very hard. If you take a look at Tosfos, Tosfos says that not only was the actual chafina hard, but even doing it in the way Chazal wanted you to do it. According to the first lishon of the Gemara, taking the Keteris and pouring it very, very slowly. It shouldn't happen too quickly, because if it happens too quickly, all this smoke can suddenly rise and the Kohen Gadol might start coughing. It could be dangerous for him to be there. That's what the Pashul Pshat in the Gemara. So it could be a problem. So to do it in that way, there was a lot of elements that were not so simple, but it was all in the Chafina Shnia. It wasn't the Chafina Rishonia that was so hard. It was the Chafina Shnia that was hard. But regardless, let's just follow the paper trail of the Sugya. The daf began with a Shaila that Rabbi Shua ben Levi asked. Second Yibayi of the Gemara. Well, we'll be the Kohen Gadol, the Chafina, and then he died. So could the next Kohen Gadol just take the Malay Chafina and walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Or does he have to do his own Chafina? And in the Gemara's discussion of that Shaila, we stumbled upon some other Shailas. One Shaila was, meaning, one Chafina or two Chafinas. Right, the Gemara said, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, both toilet this Shaila in that Shaila. So the Gemara discussed a little bit, Chayfin, Chayzev, Chayfin, Oiloi, the Maskana, it's very, very clear. Shmamina, Chayfin, Chayzev, Chayfin, Shmamina. I mean, it couldn't be more clear. So at the end of the day, he was Chayfin, Chayzev, Chayfin. Another Shaila that the Gemara was toilet this in, and that is when it says in the Pasuk, Bezois Yaveh Yaharin al HaKodesh. So the Pasuk, the Torah Shabbosav says that in order for a Haran to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he needed a par ben bakar lechatas, and he needed an ayil la'oila. So we had an Iboya. What exactly does that mean? He needed a par ben bakar. Does it mean he had to have shechted the par? Or as long as he had the dam of the par, he walked into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the dam of the par. But par means the actual par. Doesn't mean dama yishal par. So the Gemara now, from here until the end of the daf, is going to discuss that shayla. So iboyeluhu, shachat v'meis. What would be if the Kohen Gadol shechted his par? And then he died. Mahu sheikonis achad adam. So, the next Kohen Gadol, could he take the dam of the par that the original Kohen Gadol shechted walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, into the Heichal, and do all the zrikas that he had to do? Or does he have to shecht a par all over again? I mean, that old par we can't use anymore, and instead we're going to bring a new par, and now we're going to have to use it. Could you use the original par or not? What's the Shiloh? This Shiloh that the Gemara discussed. Mi amrina, do we say bepar? Do you say when it says b'zoyti over yaharan al kodesh bepar? As long as you have the dam of the par, it's considered you have the par. So the pasuk says you need the par. That means that pilu b'damish al par. Okay, so yeah, I have the dam right now. I can walk into the kodesh hakadosh. Bepar means you need the actual par. So if you had a physical par, you shechted the par, then it would be okay. But it's a technical Shiloh, as we'll see from the way the Gemara deals with it. The question is, when it says bepar, does it mean the actual fleshig of par? Or could it mean even the dam of the par? If it means the fleshig of par, so what do the words mean? He didn't bring the par into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What it means is he had shechted the par. If the word par means even damesh al par, so all the pasuk means to say is that he's going to have to take the dam of the par into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Nav kamina would be, if one Kohen Gadol shechted it, could the other Kohen Gadol walk in with the dam? If b'zoyis yovar har bepar means the actual par, so then that means he would have had to have shechted the par. He didn't shecht the par, the other Kohen Gadol shechted the par. So it's not okay, you have to bring a new par, shecht it again. If bepar means afilu b'damin shal par, so he has the dam is there. I didn't shecht it, who cares? I it says b'zoyis yovar har al-kohen bepar. Bepar just means you have the dam of the par, have the dam of the par. So that's the Shiloh. Does bepar mean v'loy b'damei shal par, means the actual par? Or does bepar mean afilo b'damei shal par? Zok the Gemara, it was a machlekes. Rabbi Chanina, who we know already from Amid Aleph, Oymer said, bepar v'loy b'damei shal par. Rish Lokesh Amid, bepar v'afilo b'damei shal par. Rabbi Abi Amar, bepar v'loy b'damei shal par. Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha Amar, bepar v'afilo b'damei shal par. Is he Rabbi Ami, the Rabbi Yitzchok? So Rabbi Ami asked Rabbi Yitzchok a question. Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha Nimnin u'moish. So this is Mimerchak Tovi Lachmi. He asked the question from a completely unrelated sugya, which the Gemara very often does. But the underlying principle of our sugya and of that sugya are related. So the sugya that he asked him from was the Karban Pesach. We know, we learned Masechtas Pesachim not so long ago, that in order to be a member of a Karban Pesach, in order to eat from the boss of the Karban Pesach, you had an RSVP. So you had to be Nimnin, you had to be RSVP, some form of a Kenyan, but you had to be a member, in a very technical sense, to a Karban Pesach, in order for you to be able to partake in a Karban Pesach. Now, a person also had the right to withdraw from a Karban Pesach. That's what Nimnin u'moishchin yedeya means. Nimnin means signing up, moishchin means withdrawing. So the halacha is nimnun u'moishchin yedei mimenu. You can sign up to a Karban Pesach or withdraw from a Karban Pesach ad sheyishachet, up until the shechita. Once the shechita happens, at that point, you can't do it anymore. Why? It's learned out from a pasuk. The pasuk, when it talks about this halacha, says v'miyemet habayis miyos miser v'lokachu u'shchenei akarev al-beisa v'michsas nefashis ish lefi achle. Here's the punchline. Tachoysu al-hasa. Tachoysu is the lashon of joining and withdrawing, al haseh, on the seh. So from there we learn, the seh has to be around. If the seh is not around, you can't do it anymore. Tachoysu is only al haseh. So k'morvim isa adshe yizarek. But if you're going to tell me that the halacha is that bepar can mean afilu b'damei shal par, so seh could also mean afilu b'damei shal seh. So adshe yizarek mi bayaleh. So why is the halacha nimnu moishchidem adshe yishachek? Because it says seh. Maybe Seh means even Damei Shal Seh, so Tachaisu al Damei Shal Seh, as long as he didn't do this reek of the Karban Pesach, that should be enough. So again, two completely unrelated issues. One is the pyre that the Kohen Gadol brought in Yom Kippur. The other is the Seh LeBeisavis that every family, every Chabura brought on Pesach. But at Sada Shavah Shavahim is, we're trying to define the word pyre, define the word Seh. Does pyre mean the actual pyre, as if before the Shechita? Then Seh means the actual Seh before the Shechita. If pyre means Afilu Damei Shal Par, then Seh can mean Afilu Damei Shal Seh. So said Rav Ami, I'll bring you a raya to my shita, because when the fact that you see nimnu numoichi yedeim only actually yishachet, because it says tachoisu al haseh, so you see seh means the actual seh, damin shal seh is not considered the seh. So if damin shal seh is not the seh, then damin shal par is not the par. But the Gemara says shani hasam there, it's different. The chsiv mihiyois mi seh. And miyos miseh means michiyusa deseh. The makar is not from tachoisu al haseh, it's from v'nimet habayis mihiyois. Hey, as if it would say, ches, michiyutz the seh. That's what the pasuk is saying. So as long as the seh is alive, that's when you can do it. Once the seh is dead, you can't do it anymore. As long as you do it with the definition of the word seh. Maybe you're right. Maybe seh means even damin shal seh. But it says clearly, miyos miseh, michiyutz the seh. Masamar zutru, another kasha. Im poidim loy be'ega, v'loy be'chaya, v'loy be'shchuta, v'loy be'trefa, v'loy be'kelayim, v'loy be'kvi, ela b'seh. So we're talking about the halacha of Petach Hamar. So we know that a kosher animal that has a firstborn child, it's a Bechar, you have to give it, someone gets a Zachar, to the Kayin. There's one exception to that rule, meaning there's one example of a non-kosher animal where you have the Parasha Bechar, and that's a Chamar. Now, you can't take the Chamar, give it to the Kayin, and tell the Kayin to be Makriv a Chamar. It's not a kosher animal. It doesn't go on the Mizbech. So the Torah says what you're supposed to do is tifte beset. You're supposed to take the chamar. You're supposed to redeem the kedusha of the chamar, put it onto a set. It says already a kosher animal, and that's the animal that you're supposed to give to the kohen. So this mishnah, which is a mesechtes bechayris, is discussing what you can use to be poida a chamar. Now the Torah says a set, but the mishnah is elaborating a little bit, meaning ein poida loy be'egel. Can't use a calf. Why not? Because it's not a set. Filoi bechaya, because it's not a set. Filoi b'shruta, that's what we need. Can't be a shruta. Filoi b'trefa, filoi b'kalayim, filoi b'kvi. Ela b'set. What's the kasha? Filoi b'shruta, why can't I use a shruta? Oh, because it says set? It's a set shruta. Oh, because set means the chefts of the set. Filoi b'damishal says, you see clearly that it means the set. Filoi b'damishal says, the Gemara says, Shani Hasam, the Aleph says, semi Pesach. We have Xer Shav, it says set over there, and it says set by the carbon Pesach, and we just established that set, the carbon Pesach, means the actual set. So therefore, there too, it means the actual set. Im ala halam fake the Gemara, if you're going to learn Xer Shav from Pesach, so we should apply this Xer Shava very broadly, we should say, just like by the carbon Pesach, it had to be a Zachar, it had to be a Tom, couldn't have a Mum, Uben Shana, only a year old. Avkan Zachar, Tom Ben Shana. So the Gemara says, Tom Aboy, Tifta, Tifta Reboy. You're right, I hear. But there is a Reboy, it says Tifta a second time, and that Reboy teaches me that it doesn't have to be punctlich like the carbon Pesach. Oh, Tifta, Tifta Reboy, Filukulu Nami. So let's be Marba everything, if there's a Reboy. If you're going to be Marba, Chaya, and an Egel, then what's. But the point is that it could be ordinarily, again, the word Seh would mean even a shchuta, but being that we have this gzeir shava says seh from Pesach, and by Pesach it says miyois miseh, which means mechiyus of the seh, we say the same thing over here. Eisvei Rabbi Yitzchak nafcha l'Rab Ami. One more Gemara. V'hoitzi es kol hapar. The pasuk over there is describing the par of the koyim Mashiach. So this is not the par of Yom Kippur that we've been talking about up until this point, but this is by Yikra Perik Dalid. It says v'hoitzi es kol hapar al michutz la'machane. You should take the par and you should bring it l'chutz menachane. Now this par was from the par manas rafen. The par manas rafen was a carbon. It was a chatos. It was very unique. The zrikas were done inside the Heichal, it was done on the Mizbech HaPnimi, it wasn't done on the Mizbech HaChitzon, but here's the Chiddush, the Basar was taken on Michutz LaMachana, and that's where it was burnt. So the Sreifa of the Parim HaNesrafim, there were several, they all happened Michutz LaMachana. And now the Pasuk says, V'hoitzi is kol ha-par. You should take the par. So what's the kasha? The par of this that we're taking out had shechita already, obviously. There was shechita, there was kabbalah, there was halacha, there was rika. The only thing that wasn't akhtar, we're not doing akhtar. We're going to take the basar and we're going to burn it, and we're going to burn it, michutz l'machane. But the Torah refers to it as a par. So you see, even after shechita, it can be called a par. And for the Gemara, sheyoytzi es kuloi. So you don't expect that to be an answer. But Rashi says two lines from the top, keirutzahu, kuloi melav de ikri par. Means whatever left over from the original par. That's what we're referring to. Originally, it was a par. Whatever's left from it, that's what you're supposed to take out. Another kasha. This par hachatos, ve'es sir hachatos. This is already referring back to the avoid on Yom Kippur. Since it says ve'es par hachatos, ve'es sir hachatos. What's the context over there? Asher huva es domam lechaper b'kodesh. Again, yoytzi al michutz lamachana. Ve'sarfu be'esh es oyroysom ve'es pisarom ve'es the es pirshon. It says the es parachatos. We're referring to it as a par, even though it's not alive enemy. I'm Rapapa. So Rapapa said like this, Baru Basu Farish Kulamale Pligi. Over there, you already you have the whole animal. You have the ur, you have the basin, you have the farish. It's true, it's not alive, but there's a big chelik of the animal there. So the cool everyone agrees that that's okay. Ki pligi bedam. Our Shiloh was the dam. Something else. The Shaila was with the Kohen Gadol, did the Shechita, and then he died. So the next Kohen Gadol is not doing the Shechita anymore. Besides the other Harla, Kodesh, Bedam is going to mean he's going to, Bepar means he's going to walk in with the Dam. That's the question. Marasov Adam Yikri Par, or Marasov Adam Yikri Par. It doesn't have to be alive, the Maskanas HaGemara, in order to be called Par, or Seh, or Sawyer. If you have the whole matzif, that's already enough. The question is, what if I only have the dam? Now is the shaila. I think the in svara, just logically, the mandam that says dam mikripar is right. What did the kohen gadol walk this par in with his horns? What else did he walk it in with? Of course, he walked in it with his dam. Ela bedamai v'karle par. So Rav Ashi said, well, what's the other tzai? He says, after the whole sugya, what was the tzai that bepar means? anything other than the dam. When he walked in with the par, of course he walked in with the dam. So the Gemara says what we've been saying up until now. That's what the Gemara means to say is the other tzad was is that not that he's going to walk in with the actual par, but maybe bepar means the actual par, and bezois yover har lakodesh bepar is just another way of saying that he would have had to have done that as a prerequisite in order for him to be able to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim Exel. So again, today's daf was a continuation of the previous daf. It's more shailas related to Chafina. Then we jumped around a little bit. May inyan le inyan ba'oisa inyan. And really, if you just do a quick recap on the shailas, one shaila was if Chafim Chaver v'nasal, does the Kohen Gadol have to do the actual Chafina? Or as long as someone does the Chafina and he puts it into the Malay Chafna of the Kohen Gadol, that's going to be okay. What would be if the Kohen Gadol did Chafina and then he died? Could the next Kohen Gadol use his Maloi Chafnav, or does Davka have to use his own Chafina? We saw a Shaila Chayfin, the Chayze, the Chayfin, or Chayfin only one time? Meaning, were there two Chafinas, or was there one Chafina? And another Shaila we saw was, what would be if Shacharomes, similar to Chafanomes, what would be if the Kohen Gadol did the Shechit on the par of Yom Kippur, and then he died? You have the Dam. Could the next Kohen Gadol just take the Dam and resume the Avoida? Or does the next Kohen Gadol have to do his own Shechita when it says, Bezois Yovai Aharon El HaKodesh Bepar? Does it mean Bepar that he had Shechted the Par? Or does it mean Pashit? Bezois Yovai Aharon El HaKodesh Bepar? You have to walk in with the Par in order to do a Zrika exhale. So, in the spirit of the fact that we're learning Perikot Tziulai, which is a Perik, that's Lumdish, a lot of Kachim, but the context is the Keteris that was born on Yom Kippur, and in the spirit of the fact that we've left a lot of raid on the table during the earlier part of the Masechta, since just one Ha'ara, as it relates to the Keteris, that's general Keteris related. The Mishnah on Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph described the four Geirolos that happened every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. So every day, how did the Kohanim determine which Kohen would get to do the Avodah? There was a Goyro, there was a Pious. A Pious HaRishon, a Pious HaSheni, a Pious HaShlishi, and there was a Pious HaRavi. The Mishnah says, a Pious HaShlishi, the third Pious, Chadoshim L'Ketores, Bohu V'Hefisu. There was a Ramkol in the Beis HaMikdash, that's it. Anyone that's never done the Ketores before is invited to come partake in this Pious, in this Goyro. Maybe he'll be Zaycha to be the one, to be the Shliach Tzibur, to bring the Ketores. And the Gemara says that you see from here that only someone that had never done the Ketores before qualified in order for him to be able to do the Avodah. But someone that had not done it before, someone that had done it before, wasn't going to qualify. Says the Gemara, Tanu, we learned in a Braisa, May Oilam Leishana Adamba. You see from here that no person ever did the Ketores twice. It wasn't okay. It was not okay for a person to do the Ketores twice. And that's why the Hachrozah was Chadoshim L'Ketores Bo'ov Efiz. My time, what's the reason? Amar Reb Chanina of today's Dafein, he said, B'nei Shema Asheres. The reason is because the Ketores was a school of Ashiros, and we wanted to give as many Kehanim as possible the opportunity to tap into this school in order for them to become Gvirim. Amar Reb Abba Labai, Reb Abba Dodabai, my time. Where does this come from? What's the makar that the Ketores was a school of Ashiras? So he said, "Ilein mishum dechsev." Is it because the pasuk says, "Yosimu Ketore ba'pecha v'chalu la'mizbechecha uksiv basrei baruch Hashem chela"? So this pasuk is in Parashas Bezois Habracha. It's in the context of Ulalevi Omar, when Moshe Rabbeinu was giving brachas and he's giving the brachas to Shevet Levi. So he told Shevet Levi, "Yoru mishpatecha le'Yakov v'soyrascha le'Yisrael." Yosimu Ketore ba'pecha. The next pasuk is Baruch Hashem Cheloi Upoil Yod of Tirtze. Now you see, Mukhtar Bapecha means the Ketores. Baruch Hashem Cheloi Upoil of Yod of Tirtze means Bracha, means Ashiros. So said Rav Papa Tabayo, I don't understand. What's the makar that the Ketores is a school of Ashiros? Is it that pasuk? I hear. Meaning, the juxtaposition between Yosim Mukhtar Bapecha, which is the Ketores, and Baruch Hashem Cheloi Upoil of Yod of Tirtze, but the problem is Yehochi Oilonami. The Oilon should also be a school of Ashiros. The Hoksiv. The pasuk says, "Yosim b'ketar b'apecha," which is ketaris. V'cholam is b'checha. That's the carbon oil. How do we know? Because it says kolol. The carbon oil was the one carbon that was kolol. It was completely consumed by the fire of the mizbeach. And then afterwards, Baruch Hashem cheloi upoil yod of tirtz. Amaleis abaya told Rapapa. Now that really is the makar. That's the makar. Yosim b'ketar b'apecha. Baruch Hashem cheloi. That's how you know ketaris is a school of fashiras. Ah, you have a kasha. What about oil? That's not a kasha because hashchicha v'hal lo yishchicha. And there's a machlokes Rashi and the Tosfos Yeshanim. Had to learn pashup shana in the Gemara, but the way Rashi learns the Gemara is hashchicha. The oila was shchicha because there were many karbanos oila that were brought. In fact, most people that were menadev to bring a carbon, they brought a carbon oila. But the k'tayres was lo yishchicha. The k'tayres was only brought once a day. Pras b'shachris upras ben arbayim. Okay, zok Rashi u'mestabra. It's mestaber. The chik siv oisher. It's mistaber that if you have an avoida that's a school of Ashiras, it's probably referring to something that's loy shchiach in loy kain, because otherwise nimtzu hakol ashirim. Everyone's going to be an oisher. Anyone that brings a carbon oila has the school of Ashiras. That means everyone's going to be an oisher. Now, what's so terrible about that? I don't know, but it sounds like that's just not derech oila. And as a result, says Abaye Terapapas, the Kenish Zayin. So you're right, based on the drasha, K'tayrus should be a school of Ashiras, and Oyla should be a school of Ashiras. You'll see, M'K'tayrus b'apecha, K'tayrus v'cholam, is b'checha, Oyla, Baruch Hashem, Chelu, Poyla, Yod, V'terze. Aba ha-shchicha v'alo, shchicha, at the end of the day, it's not possible to have something shchicha that's a school of Ashiras, and therefore only you'll see M'K'tayrus b'apecha is a school of Ashiras, but as it relates to the carbon oil or not. Bottom line is, the K'tayrus was a school of Ashiras, and it's for that reason, in order to spread the wealth, literally, ha-payis ha-shlishi, which was the payis that was going to determine who would bring the k'tayres, chadoshim l'k'tayres bahu v'hefisu. Only someone that was chadosh, someone that had never brought the k'tayres before, was able to partake. But someone that had brought the k'tayres before, not. And the reason is because we want to give others an opportunity to be able to partake in this tremendous school. We don't have k'tayres b'zman hazeh. Stating that, this sugya has a nafkemina la'alacha. The fact it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch by the Rama in Hilchas Mila in Yerudeya, Simen Reish Samache. The Rama is discussing the Sandik. The Sandik is the person that holds the baby on his lap while the Moyel does the Bris Mila. Says the Rama, Sandik, Yofa Koyach HaSandik Mikoyach HaMoyel. The Sandik's role in the Bris Mila is more chashah than the Moyel's role in the Bris Mila. I mean, if you would ask somebody, who's more involved in the Mila? Whose role is more chashav? The Sandik or the Moyel? You probably say the Moyel. The Moyel is doing the actual mitzvah. Shluchei shel Adam k'maisai. He's the one that's representing the father that has an obligation to do it. But says to your mother, it's not the way it is. Yofa koyach ha-sandik, mi koyach ha-moyel. L'may nafkemina, if it's a Monday or a Thursday, or a Shabbos, and there's aliyahs, so you want to know, should I give the aliyah to the Moyel? Should I give the aliyah to the Sandik? Give it better to the Sandik. The Sandik today is doing the sandikois, yofa koyach ha-sandik mikoyach ha-moyel, he actually comes first. Says the Ramah, why? The whole sandik have a kemakdik k'tayres. Because every sandik is kemakdik k'tayres. Right, imagine you're a gabbai in a shul, and there's someone in shul that brought the k'tayres today. So you have a havamina, whether he deserves an aliyah? Of course, he's so chashiv. He brought the k'tayres today. So says the Ramah, therefore, when it comes to who you should give an aliyah to, if the sandik is there and the moyel is there, you give it to the sandik. Because the sandik was not, the moyel didn't bring k'tayres, the sandik brought the k'tayres, says the Rama. Being that sandikoy says kamak the k'tayres, v'loche, noyagin, the midigin k'la Yisrael is, sh'loy liten shnei yeladin l'bal b'rzechon, that a father that was mechabit somebody once with sandikois, if he has another son, he should, the minig is not to give that same sandik, sandikois again. Kidamrina gabi k'tayris. Because that's what we find by the k'tayris. Chadoshim li k'tayris. They used to say, chadoshim li k'tayris bovei, fisu. And being that the sandik is kemak the k'tayris, and that's why you offer koyach ha-sandik, mikoyach ha-moyel, that's why you give him the aliyah over, you give the moyel. Oh, if it's k'tayris, so then let's learn Yumad Av Chava, which talks about k'tayris. And it says, chadoshim li b'korim bovei, fisu. So the same is going to be true by a sandik, and therefore says the Ramah, the minig is shaloi liten shnei yeladim l'bal b'risecha. Now the truth is, this Ramah, its makar is in the Maril, who says it in the name of Rabbeinu Peretz. So really, it goes back to the times of the Rishonim. So there seemed to have been a minig in Klal Yisrael that people would not be mechabed one sandik to do two of his son's milos. So for his first son, one sandik, a second son, another sandik, there's a third son, a third sandik. But there was such a minig in Klal Yisrael. The Ramah quotes this minig in his commentary to the Beis Yosef's Greisa Shulchan Aruch in Yerudei Simen Reish Samechei in Hilchas Mila. And he says that Rabbeinu Peretz explained the minig. He said, you want to know the Hezber and the minig? It's based on the idea that the sandik is kemak the k'tayres, and it's a sugya in Yuma, daf chavav amin aleph, that chadoshim lebikarim bo vehefisu. So just like nobody did the k'tayres twice, you can't be a sandik twice either. stating that the Vilna Gaon in the Bir HaGra reacted very sharply, uncharacteristically, to what Rama said. He says, Dvarav ein lahem shachar. He says, what Rama is saying has no shachar. It's not true. The Imkein, he said, because if that's the reason, my time in the other Mechadavka, why is it that this minig, that a person is not mechabed, sandik, to the same person for a second time is only true with one father? He says, if there's such an idea that it's like the Keteris, so no Kain ever brought the Keteris twice, so nobody should ever be the Sandik twice. Besides, said the Vilna Gaon, Ula Oilam Leirainu Sandik Shemes Asher. And he says, besides, if Sandik Kais is Kemak the Keteris, it should have it to the school of Ashiris. And he says, I've never seen, and as far as I know, no one's ever seen someone did sandik and then he won the lotto. No such thing. Says the Vilna Gaon, either is such a minig in Klal Yisrael. Ela haminig hu al pi tzavas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. He says, you want another bekart in a minig? Take a look in the tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. And the truth is, if you look in the tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, it's ois lamed hey. Lo yasa lechaveroi sandik lishnei banov. A person should not give the same sandik twice for two of his children, said the Vilna Gaon. It's true there was such a minig in Klal Yisrael that people did not repeat when it comes to sandik guys. But the minig has nothing to do with Keteiris, because if it had to do with Keteiris, number one, why Adam Echad Nafka? A person should never be. And besides, it would have the school of Ashirus. And the Vilna Gaon epically says, Ula Oilam Loira Inu Sandik Shemes Asher. I was such a minig? You're right, there's a minig. It's Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, like a lot of minhagim that we have in Messiah. But the bottom line is, it's in the Ramah. But said the Gaon, I don't think it has anything to do with Keteiris, but rather it's related to the tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. This shaila of this minig that the Ramah brings and the Vilna Gaon spoke very sharply against, or at the very least said that, not that the minig is not a minig, but at the same time it's not related to this mysticism that the Ramah and Rabbeinu Peretz seem to attribute it to, was discussed by the G'dayli Achroyim throughout the generations. One of the classic tshuvas that were written on the topic was written by Rabbi Cheskel Landau, the great Noida B'Yehuda. And the tshuva is in Yeridei Kama, it's Simen Pei Vav. And the question that was asked to the Noida B'Yehuda was this very question. Now the truth is, the Noida B'Yehuda gave the shayl, the disclaimer that he gave many times throughout Shuvas Noida B'Yehuda, and that is that, I'll be honest with you, I don't really like to write Shuvas about things that have no Makar in Shas. And he repeats it a few times throughout the Shuva. Stating that, the Noida B'Yehuda wrote a Shuva. And in the Shuva, the Noida B'Yehuda began by addressing this Rabbeinu Peretz. So Rabbeinu Peretz said that the Sandik is Kemakdik Keteiris. Where does this come from? You have to have a makar. There's no mafurish a makar. But epis a makar, there must be. Rabbeinu Peretz didn't just make it up. So there has to be a makar to this notion that for some reason, being a sandik is kemakti keteris. Said the Noida B'Yehuda, I think this is the makar. It's a yalkut shemoni, and it's in the end of Parashas Lech Lecha. The pasuk says, v'yikach Avram es yishmol b'noi. Zok the yalkut. B'shoshemol Avram es yilidei beisoi. After Avram Avinu did bris milah, himself, he did bris milah with Yishmael, he did bris milah with his entire family, Hemidon Giva Arolois. So he had a pile of all the Arolois that he did bris milah with, and he put it outside, Vizor Chaleim Chama, and the sun was beating on it, the Hislio, and they started decomposing, and they started smelling, V'ola Reichon Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Reich went up Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kiktores Samen, it went to the Eibishter like Tyrus and like an Oila that's called Elishan. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, B'shosh sheyiyu bonov, bon lidei maisim royim. If there's ever going to be a time that the Enoch Lechav Avram Avinu are going to come to maisim royim, and in niskar oisei areyach, I'm going to remember the smell, the odor of the arlois of the family of Avram Avinu, u'mesmalei aleim rachman. And I'm going to have rachmanis. Beautiful Medrash. So the Medrash says, after Avram Avinu did Bris Milah, so he took all the arlois, he put the man in the sun. But what does it say? For his sleeve, they started smelling. V'ala reichon lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki k'toyres samin, u'ka'oyla she'ikolo le'ishin. It says the smell rose like the smell of the k'toyres. Zoktinoi de Behuda, I think this is where Rabbeinu Peretz got this idea from, that there's some connection between Bris Mila and between Keteris. Because as I state, it says that it was Allah Reichel Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Keteris Samen Uka'ayla Sheikal Alishin. Oh, but Freiktinoi de Behuda. But he says, I hear this is probably in the Makar. But he says, I have three kashas on this. He says, number one, why the Sandik? Why not the Mayel? Why not the Avi Aben? Why not the child? Where did the Sandik come in? I hear we have a Yalkut Shemoni, which L'chayr is the Makar. Oh, but it doesn't say anything about Sandik. So why is this all about the Sandik? Said the Noit Behuda, have another problem. He says, the Gemara said that really, the same Makar that teaches us that Keteirah is Ma'asheres, teaches us that the Oyla is Masheris as well. Yasimu Keter Bapecha, the Cholam is Bechach, and then it says Baruch Hashem Chelu Bali Yadav Tirs. It's very Gemara. If it was Chadosh on the Bekarim for the Keteris, why wasn't the same thing true for the Oyla? And what did Gemara say? Hashchicha v'hala yishchicha. As if to say, the school of Ashirs can only be for something that's Shchich. So it says the Neid of Yehuda, if you're going to tell me that the Sandik is Kamak Dikteris, and just like Dikteris, it was Bove, Fisu, Chadosh, and the Bekar. So you want to say the same thing is true for Sandikais, but at the end of the day, what are you really saying? You're saying that being that he's bringing Keteris, it's a school of Ashirus, so you want to give other people to have the school of Ashirus. I'm afraid the Neid of Yehuda, Sandikais is Shchicha. So if Sandikais is Shchicha, there's no way it's going to have the school of Ashirus. So even if it is Kemak de Keteiris, but it can't be, because Hashchicha v'hala Shchicha, it can't be better than the Oila. And at the end of the day, the only reason the Keteiris was a school of Ashirus is the Gemara said, because it was like Shchicha. The Regat Shchicha loses its Koyach. So even if it is Kemak de Keteiris, I don't think there should be a Halach of Chadash on the Bekarim, because at the end of the day, it's Shchicha. And besides, said the Noid of Yehuda, if this is really Pshat in the Minig in Klaish, again, this Minig was around for hundreds of years. Nobody was questioning the minig. But if it's true that the aside of the minig, of not being mechabed, the same sandik, a second time, is related to the fact that it's keteiris, he says the minig in Klai Yisrael has always been that the raivid, the gaivid, the rav of the kehila, the mar, the asra, he would get sandik a second time. So he says, what's the difference between the rav or somebody else? If there's a real minig, then you have to keep to the minig. And in Elamai, it was a minig for whatever. He doesn't quote Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, ironically, the Noid of Yehuda. But he says, what would be the svara to be mechalik between the gaivid of the kehila versus everybody else? In other words, we have the Ramah, who quotes Rabbeinu Peretz, who says that there was a minig in Klai Yisrael not to be mechabed a sandik for a second time. And the yisoid of this minig was, the aside of this minig was because the sandik is kamak de keteiris, and just like by keteiris, bove, fisuk, it's the school of ashirus, you want to give people the opportunity to have the school of ashirus. So when it comes to the sandikais as well, there's an inyan of bove, fisuk. Stating that the Vilna Goyin and the Noid de Yehuda, they both came out very stark against Rabbeinu Peretz, against this minig that the Maril brings from Rabbeinu Peretz that the Ramah quotes in Simen Reish Samechei. And really, if you make a sikum, if you add the questions together, we have five kashas from Gedoy Le'oyla, from Ashley Ravervi, on this minig. We have the two kashas of the Vilna Goyen. Number one, why Dafka Me'odam Echad? Why is it that a father shouldn't be mechabed a sandik twice? Nobody should be mechabed the same sandik if this person got sandikos already. By the Keteiris, that's the way it was. The Vilna Goyen said the Metzios is not that way. He says, you're going to tell me it's a school of Ashira sandikos? La'olam loira inu sandik shemes asher. And then we have the Noid B'Yehuda's kashas. Why is it the sandik that's kemak the Keteiris? If there's an in element of Keteiris when you're doing a brismila, so the mayol, so why does it have to do with, maybe a mayol should only be able to do one brismila. Why isn't after the sandik? He says, besides, it can't be a school of Ashira, said the Noid B'Yehuda, because it's shchicha. And just like the Gemara said, you have the same exact drush from Yosimu Keteiru Ba'apecha V'cholam is Be'chacha. At the end of the day, being that the oil is Shchicha, it doesn't work. Now, look, you have a problem here. This is also Shchicha. And he said, besides, if this is the Makar to the Minig, if this is the Makar to the Minig, why was there a carve out for the Rav? So what was Pshat in the Minig? So Rabbi Yehuda didn't say. When the guy said, maybe it's based on Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, it's Mefurish in the Tzavah from Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. So clearly, that's where it came from, this Minig. Klal Yisrael took on a lot of the Minhagim and a lot of the things that Rabbi Yehuda Chassid said you should do in his Tzavah. Many they didn't, but this must be in the list of things. This is like shaving on Rish Chayidish. It's like Edims and Schneers with the same names as the Shver and the Shveger. Right? It falls into that whole schmooze. But the bottom line is, these are the two Mahalchim in terms of understanding the Minig. Stating that, there was another tshuva that was written. This tshuva wasn't written in the 18th century. That's when the Neid of Yehuda's tshuva was written. This was already written in the 19th century. And this was written by Maron HaChassam Sofer. And it's in Shailas HaTshuvas HaChassam Sofer, Eirechayim. It's tshuva Kuf Nun Ches. Now, the Shaila, we'll get to in a second. But the Toichen of the first half of the Tshuva was this minig that the Ramah brings. And the Chassam Sofer has an Arichos, it's very detailed, Ayin Sham, where he talks about this minig that the Ramah says that a Sandik is Kamakdik Torah, and for that reason a father shouldn't be Mechabit a Sandik for a second time. He brings that the Noida B'Yehuda in a Tshuva, Chassam Sofer used to learn all the Tshuvas from the Noida B'Yehuda, he knew them, quotes them very, very often. And he brings that the Noida B'Yehuda was Matmiya on this minig, and he says, I feel that being that at the end of the day, the Ramah was coming from a Maril who was quoting Rabbeinu Peretz, Lochein Ere Lohoshiv Al Kol Divrei Hagoyin Zechroin Elevracha, referring to the Noida B'Yehuda, B'Mechilas Kvoidai. So B'Mechilas Kvoidai Shal Noida B'Yehuda, at the end of the day, this is a Rabbeinu Peretz, and I feel an obligation to defend the honor of Rabbeinu Peretz at this minute, because if he said it, it has to have a Makar. V'Shagam Ki Yatzasi Lahatzdik Atzadik Demeikar Ayin Shah. Incidentally, Rabbeinu Peretz, who was one of the great Rishonim, was also known in the world of Kabbalah as one of the great Mekubalim. So the Tkufa of the Rishonim was hundreds of years before the Arizal and the Ramah Mipano and the real Dair of the Mekubalim. But there were certain Rishonim that were known to be Mekubalim. The Ramban, Rabbeinu Peretz is on that list. But the point is, Rabbeinu Peretz was also a big Mekubal, and the Chassam Sofer felt that to just be Mevatel what Rabbeinu Peretz said, he thought that we have to go ahead and we have to defend Rabbeinu Peretz. So it's a long tshuva, we're not going to go through it, but just one thing that the Chassam Sofer says, and that is, the Chassam Sofer said that Yehuda was struggling to find the makar to this Rabbeinu Peretz. Like, where do you find anywhere that there's a connection between Mila and Ketairis? And he found the Yalkut Shemayin, he tucked away in the end of Parashas Lech Lecha, very, very gishmak. Abba says, the Chassam Sofer, I think the Noida B'Yehuda's makar is doichik. In fact, he says a line that's interesting. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. So you have to know what that means. But the bottom line is, says the Chassam Sofer, that I don't think that's the Makar. I think the Makar is something else. It's a Medrash Rabba. It's in the beginning of Parashas Vayera. The Pasuk says, we all know the Pasuk. Vayera Elav Hashem Beiloine Mamre Fu Yoshef Pesach Ha'oil Kachay Mayon. So Avraham Avinu just did the Bris Mila. It was Shlishi Lamila. And he was sitting outside. It was very, very hot. Vayera Elav Hashem, and the Eibishter revealed himself. Kadosh Baruch Hu came to visit Avram Avinu. Zok the Medrash, Rabbi Yitzchak Pasach, Rabbi Yitzchak, when he would say Shirim Parashas Vayera, so this was his psicha. This is the way he would start Parashas Vayera. The Pasuk says, Mizbach Adoma Tasali. And then it ends, and it says, Bechol Mokim Asher Asker Eshmi, Ovei Elecho Beirachticha. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ma Im Zeh Shabonim Mizbeach Lashmi. Harini Nigle Olav Mavarchi. Madach someone that just built the Mizbeach Lashmi. So I come and reveal myself to him and I give him a bracha. Avram Shemol Atzmei Lashmi. Avram that did Bris Mila. Alachas Kama Vekama. That's Pshad Vayera Elav Hashem Beiloini Mamri. So this is how Rabbi Yitzchak would start Parshas Vayera. He would say Vayera Lashem Beiloini Mamri. Why? Because Avram Avinu did Bris Mila. What Shaykhis? Oh, you say it's a Pasuk. It's a Kal V'chomer. Madach Mizbech Adoma Tassali. And the end of the Pasuk is V'zavachta Olav Oy Leisecho V'eshlamecho V'esoyncho V'esbechorecho. And what does the Pasuk continue? B'chol Amokim Asher Askesh Mi Ovei Lecha B'rechticho. Madach, if you bring a Korban Yezoycho Takadosh Baruch Hu comes Ovei Lecha, I'm going to come visit you. U'berechticho Gaidich Benchin. So Kal V'chomer, if someone does Bris Mila. The Medrash continues. Rab Levi Pasach. Rab Levi, when he would say Shem Parshas Vayera, this is how he would start. The Pasach says, V'shar V'ayel L'shlomim, L'zboyach L'fnei Hashem. And then the Pasach says, I'm skipping, Ki Ayoyim Hashem Nira Aleichem. So Omer Rab Levi made the same Kal V'chomer. Ma im zeh shehikruv shar v'ayel l'shmi. Harin niglav v'mavarche. Ma adach someone that brings a shar and an ayel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does the Pasach say? Hayoyim Hashem Nira Aleichem. Hashem reveals himself, Avram Shemal Atzmei L'Shmi, Avram who did Bris Mila, Alachas Kama V'Kama, that's why the Pasuk says, Vayera Elav Hashem Be'Loinei Mamre. So Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Levi both made similar Kal V'Chomers. You want to know why Avram Avinu was Zoich to Vayera Elav Hashem Be'Loinei Mamre? Because he did Bris Mila. And Madach, if you bring Karbonos, you zoicha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu arriving. Mizbech Adam HaTasnali, V'zovachta Olav HaSoy L'Sech HaVeshlamecho, and then it says, Ovei Elecho B'rachticho. The Pasuk says, V'shar V'ayel L'shlamim L'zbayach, and then it says, Ki Ayoyim HaShem Nira Aleichem. So Kal V'chomer Brismil. So said the Chassam Sofer, what Pashup Shana the Kal V'chomer? Ma Inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai. Ma inyan mila itzel karbonos. What does one have to do with the other? Oh, because if you bring a carbon lishmi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows up. Ovelecho berachticho, kayem Hashem nir aleichem. So if you do bris mila the same way, zok tichsam soifritz poshet. What the Gemara meant to say was, is because when a father takes a child and he's machnisa lebrisa shel Avraham Avinu b'itayu b'zmano, even shalay b'zmano, he's bringing a carbon. That's what he's doing. This blood, it's dangerous. Once upon a time, it was ki alecha hiragnu kol hayoyim. Reb Shulman Levi says in Gittin on Zayin Amid Beis, it's referring to Mila b'shmini. Rashi says because the children used to die very often during bris mila. But the point is, it was considered for sure once upon very dangerous, and it's akrova. It's a real sacrifice. This is a carbon of Nei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So what Reb Yitzchak and Reb Levi and Medrash Rab in the beginning of Parshas Vayera was saying was madach a carbon that doesn't involve real personal sacrifice. Chazar and kiss. You had to swipe your credit card. You had to buy a shor and an aisle. You had to bring a carbon. But at the end of the day, you weren't makriv of yourself. And there, what happens? If you bring a carbon, a bedubis the carbon, it's a personal sacrifice. Your child, you yourself. That's why Vayera El Bashem made Lone Mamre. But said the Chsam Soifer, it's Pasha to me. If that's the case, you can take this Kal V'chaymer and you can apply it broadly and generally and across the board. Meaning, any time you find any bracha that's associated with a carbon, you can make the same exact Kal V'chaymer that Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Levi made. It sounds like a chiddush at first glance, but if you think about it for a second, it's not such a chiddush. Because just like Rabbi Yitzchak made a Kal V'chaymer, madach a carbon of Eilach Brachticha. For sure, Mila, and just like Rabbi Levi made a carbon, so any bracha that I'll ever find for you that associates itself with a carbon, you can make the same kavuchem. Now, what shaykh the carbon? Because Mila's like that carbon. So that's partial what Rabbeinu Peretz meant. He said, once you find Yosimu Ketayr Ba'apecha, and then Baruch Hashem Chelo, Paul of Yad of Teretze, so you see Ketayrus is associated with Asheris. Is new vita kal v'chaymer madach tayres. That doesn't involve. It's besamim. It's spices. It's that. Whatever. It doesn't involve you. Asheris kal v'chaymer a child. Or kal v'chaymer brismila is going to be the same way. To Makarta Rabbeinu Peretz was this medrash said the Chsam Soifer. Just like the medrash made the two kal v'chaymers that are made between carbon and mila, so you can apply this principle to every bracha, any skula that you ever find related to a carbon, it's going to be true. Why did the Gemara say? Said the Chsam Soifer, what? The Gemara is otu ki ruchel? It's like a ruchel that has to start counting? We have to go through now every bracha associated with a carbon? I mentioned too, tein l'chacha v'yech gemayit. You now know that a mila is a carbon, and nishna a carbon, but a kal v'chaymer, and anything you're going to find, you're going to be able to apply. So said the Chsam Soifer, to be Yehuda, everyone that's trying to find the Makar, this is the Makar. If Ktairis is a school of Ashiris, Mila is a school of Ashiris. Because frankly, any school associated with any carbon, said the Chsam Soifer, is going to apply to Mila. Because Mila is the ultimate carbon. So if you find a school associated with a carbon, with a Kal V'chaymer, it's going to have to be associated. The Chsam Soifer goes through all the different Aris that the Nei Behuda has, just one that's worth mentioning, and I saw it pop up on the screen. And that is, that's Pashit, that the Yehuda had a Kasha, that if the Minik always was based on Rabbeinu Peretz, how come the Rav of the Keila was different? So the Chsam Soifer said, no, the Rav of the Keila is different. Because the Rav of the Keila is like the Kohen Gadol. And just like the Kohen Gadol was Makriv Chelik Beroish, he had the ability to do any Avodah that he wanted to do. So the Rav of the Keila, by the Ketoros also, there was such a concept, there was a precedent, that if somebody wanted to do more, the Kohen Gadol could do whatever he wants. The Kohen Gadol wanted to do Ketoros every day, he had the right to do Ketoros every day. So the Kohen Gadol, being that he was different, that's probably where the minute came that the rivet of the Kehilo would be different. But the bottom line is, this is the Chsam Soifer. Now, the truth is, a lot to talk about. Metz Hashem will do part two of this tomorrow. But it's one thing that's interesting. We'll end with this, and that is the Chsam Soifer's context was very different than Yehuda. Yehuda was asked this question point blank. The Shoyal asked the Noid of Yehuda, Yilamdenu, Rabbeinu, I know it's a Ramah. Maybe he knew the comment of the Vilna Gaon, and he wanted to know, Tachlis, is this, what is it? What's the Makar to this minute? Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, it's a real minig. He asked the Noid Behuda the question, and the Noid Behuda answered the question. The Chsam Soifer, classic, was not asked this question. He was asked something very, very different, which is a shmooze unto itself. In fact, people that refer to these tshuvas usually don't even refer to it for this. This is really the appetizer of the tshuva, because the ikur chelik of the tshuva was something completely different, but equally as incredible. And that is, the Shoyal wanted to know if a bal habris, if someone's making a bris, during Svira or during the 3 weeks, is he allowed to take a haircut? Is he allowed to shave or not? What's the halacha related to a bal habris? So the Chsam Soifer began his tshuva with Rabbeinu Peretz. So had the Chassam Sofer go from Rabbeinu Peretz and this Medrash Rabbah in the beginning of Ayei Rav Yitzchak and Rav Levi to answer his shayla. So after he went through this whole Arichas where he goes through the Noida B'Yehuda, literally chapter and verse, says the Chassam Sofer, what comes out from here is that when a person does Bris Milah, when a person is Machnis, Benoy, Lebrisa Shel Avram Avinu, what he's doing is he's bringing a korban. The halacha was that a Baal HaKorban, anyone that was involved with the korban in the Beis HaMikdash, be it the Kohen, be it the Levi, or be it the Yisraelim that were involved in the Anshei Maimed, they had to come well-groomed. In fact, so much so, the Yidden that were involved in Karbanis, there was halacha, that if you were a member of the Anshei Maimed, right, those were the Yisraelim that were there because of Tishru, they had to be involved in the korban. So they were not allowed to cut their hair during the time of their Maimed. Why not? So the Gemara says because it was like Chalamayt. You're not allowed to shave on Cholamayit. The reason is because Shleiti Kanis, we don't want you to come into Yontif unshaved. It's like this. You know that once Cholamayit comes, you're not allowed to touch your hair. You can't take a haircut. So you'll know to take a haircut before. The same was true with the Anshei Maimed. They weren't allowed to touch their hair during the Maimed. It's like this. They're not going to walk in unkempt. They're going to come in looking nice and handsome. That was the whole idea. So look, the Chassam Sofer, that if a Balabris is a Bala Korban, and it's based on what? It's based on a Kal V'Chomer, that all the halachas of carbon relate to the Baal HaBris. Says the Chassam Sofer, this Kal V'Chomer is a Kal V'Chomer Gomer of Rabbi Shmuel Omer fame. It's one of the Yud Gomer Midrash HaTorah Nidrashes Bam. He says, Lanias Daiti, any implication that comes from this is a Din D'Oraisa. So that means a Baal HaBris has a Din D'Oraisa to cut his hair. He has a Din D'Oraisa to look good. And if he has a Din D'Oraisa, so it's poshut, it's going to be Doichasphere. Then the Chassam Sofer said, and I'm going to tell you something that I saw by my Rebbe. And he was referring to Rav Nosson Adler. He said, I saw by my Rebbe that he was once matir somebody who was sitting shiva for his father. So his father passed away, it was during the shiva. And he had a very important meeting, a meeting with the Puritz. And there was a lot of money at stake. And during Sfira, I'll read it to you inside, for Isi Raboisai, he's referring to Rav Nosson Adler, he tiru le'echa b'tach shiva yomim al aviv, le'histaper, to cut his hair, uliskabes, to wash his clothing, the lilbosh meguatzin, and to put on fresh pressed clothing, liris pnei kira, mishum hefsid rab dimamoina. V'taymeni mukamimoy. And the hesber was, that the spoyres v'chol menhoge avelos lav dayraisa. These are all not dinim dayraisa. Rak asmach dem alma, k'moy sheherichu kol harishoinim. And it's for that reason he felt that there was a svara to be mekel, besides kovin malchus that the Chassam Sofer talks about in a bunch of tshuvas, which is a very big deal. The bottom line is, he said, I saw by Rav Nosson Adler that that's what he was matter. So if he could be matter this, I could be matter that. And that's the tshuva of the Chassam Sofer. Again, there's a lot more here. This is what he says. Lamaisa, this tshuva is so good, it had a sequel. Because the Shoyl heard what the Chassam Sofer wrote, and he wrote back not a little bit about Sandakais, but a lot more about taking haircuts. And the Chassam Sofer wrote another tshuva, Kufnun Tes, a Sharfa tshuva. And it's in that tshuva, Kufnun Tes, where the Chassam Sofer famously told the Shoyl, because it seems the Shoyl was very bothered with the fact that the Chassam Sofer was even suggesting a person can touch his beard and Lechura, you're not allowed to touch it. And he quoted the Zohar that says that you can't touch your beard. And that's what the Chassam Sofer said, that it's not true. There's a Zohar, but he said, Ein li esek ben estaris. And he quotes over there that the Italian Rabbanim, they were all clean shaven. And he says the reason they were is because they had this Messiah from the Ramami Pano, who was the great Mekubal of Italy. And he says, regarding the Ramami Pano, his Lashon is, V'nitlim be'ilon gadol Rabbanachem Azariah Bala Sarim Amoris Afiyah Mekubalim Shehu Hayim Megulach B'li Hishir Saira Echad. That's what he says. And he says it's based on that, the Italian. Either way, there's a lot going on in Erechayim Siv Kufnon Ches, Erechayim Siv Kufnon Tes. But Ashenegele in Yonenu, we're learning the Sugis of Ketores. Ketores was a school of Ashiras, and because it was a school of Ashiras, therefore the Pious Ashlishi, which was the girl that would determine who would bring the Ketores, it was Chadoshim Bekarim Bove Fisu. What does this have to do with us? We don't have the Ketores, that's true. But at the same time, there's a Rabbeinu Peretz that's quoted by the Maril, that's quoted by the Ramah in Yoredei, Simon Reish Samachay, and Ilchas Mila, that says a Sandik is Kemak the Ketores, and because a Sandik is Kemak the Ketores, so the same print, you have the school of Ashiras, and if you have the school of Ashiras, Chadoshim, the Bekarim, Bovei Fisu, the Vilna Goyin, and the Noida Yehuda. They had problems with it. A bunch of kashas. We mentioned five in the course of the Rebbe. As far as the Makar to Rabbeinu Peretz, so the Noida Yehuda said, "Lanias Daiti." The Makar is a Yalkut Shemayin and then the Parshas Lech Lecha that says that after Avram Avinu did the Bris Milah, he put all the Arlis outside. Zorchaleim Hashemesh. They started to smell, but that Reich, which probably didn't smell good to the peoples around it, but for Hakadosh Baruch Hu was Oyla Kureyach Michayach. So much so, Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, "I'm going to remember this smell like I remember the Schus of the Akedah." And if Klal Yisrael does something wrong and they need a schus, I'm going to remember the k'tayrus of that smell. But it was referred to as the reich of the k'tayrus. Now Yehuda said, "That's the makar." The Chassam Sofer said, "I don't think that's what it is." He says, "Maybe that's even a guzma ba'alma." But the Chassam Sofer said, "I don't think that's what it is. Rather, the makar is the Medrash Rambam beginning of Parshas Vayera. Bris Milah is a carbon, but it's the spitz of all the carbon. There's no carbon like Bris Milah because itself, it's personal sacrifice. It's a chelik of the guf. And therefore, any bracha you find associated anywhere with a carbon is going to be true for Bris Milah as well. So, Yasimu K'tayr Ba'pecha Baruch Hashem Chelu Pala B'yadav Teretzef, if that's true for K'tayrus, then Mela has to be true for Bris Milah as well. And the Chassam Sofer said it with Nachan Afkamino La'alacha, that a Bala Bris as a Bala carbon. L'mayin Afkamino, he's allowed to cut his hair even during Svira. He's allowed to cut his hair even during Bein HaMetzarim. Yetz Hashem, we'll talk more about this tomorrow.